Lord and Savior this morning. Thankful to be in His house once again and given the opportunity to worship and to serve Him. The title of the message of the Lord this morning is, Have You Forgotten Who You Are? Have you forgotten who you are? Sometimes it's easy, church, in this world to get caught up in things and forget who you are. Even though the warning signs may be there, amen, to tell you away from those things and not to handle those things, sometimes we still get caught up in things that we shouldn't get caught up in. We're going to give you some examples this morning of some people in the Word of God, some men in the Word of God, and some good men in the Word of God who faced those things, who went through things, and the warning signs were there, and they still lost sight of who they were. So I say to you this morning, it's easy to happen. It happens to good people. So when it does happen, don't beat yourself up over it. Just make things right and straighten things out and get back to where you need to be and who you need to be. All right? So our first scripture this morning is going to come from Genesis 25. Then we're going to go to 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter. And we're going to finish up in Luke 15. And don't worry if you don't get all of them right now. We will repeat those to you as we get to them. But some people like to turn to them all at once and be prepared. Hopefully we all understand and we all know that we are the called of God. That's who we are. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of that this morning, because as I said, sometimes we forget that. Romans 8 and 28, it says, And we know that all things work together for good of them, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now I want to make a point here this morning. Not our purpose. His purpose. Right? So it's important that we understand this morning that our lives are supposed to be based on His purpose. Because that's what He's called us into. Now we all have the opportunity to be the children of God. To have the inheritance of God, to be able to be heirs and joint heirs to the kingdom of God. That's an opportunity that He has bestowed upon us. And we want to share with you our first example this morning is going to be about Esau and his birthright. But we want to say this morning first, all of their lives my daughters have heard a statement. Sarah, why don't you tell them what that statement is? They've heard that all their lives. Always remember who you are. Always remember who you represent. And I'll tell you why that has been important to me and why I've tried so hard to impress that upon my children is because we don't just represent ourselves. We don't just represent our families, but we represent Christ. And everything that we say, everything that we do, every decision that we make is a representation of Christ when we say that we're a child of God. When we go to church, and we talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning, don't think that people aren't watching, because lost people are watching. And I hear it more and more every day about how people that don't go to church are using our lives as an example of why they shouldn't go to church. Right? So it's imperative that we know and continually remind ourselves who we are. We are the called of God according to His purpose. Remember who we represent. We represent Him in everything that we do, everything that we say, and every decision that we make. It's not just about us, church. It's His purpose. So Esau, he made a mistake. And if you would, turn with us to Genesis, the 25th chapter. So I've got three different things that we contend with on a daily basis. And the first one is, sometimes life gets in the way of our understanding of who we are. The first thing is we contend with our situations and our circumstances. We contend with the thing that's in front of us. So Esau gave up who he was because all he could see was his circumstance. So in Genesis 25, verses 25 through 34, it says, "And the first came out red all over, like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when he bare them, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sighed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." You may be seated. So we see here a man who was the firstborn of Isaac and Rebekah. He was the one who was destined to be the heir to everything that Isaac had. He was the one. That's just the way that it was in those days and in that time. So he was second in the heir, and he would have taken everything once Isaac had passed. But he gave his birthright to his brother for some soup and some bread. Now, it's easy, church, for us to look back, and as I go over these examples this morning, and it's easy for us to look, and we'll see the warning signs, and we'll see the things that we know that they shouldn't have made these mistakes. But I want to help you to understand this morning, they didn't have the benefit of the examples that we have today. They didn't have the Word of God for their examples. And I mean, they might have had some scrolls, and they might have had some parts of it, but they didn't have the whole Word for the examples. And it's always easier to look backwards and say, well, they should have done this or they should have done that, when you have all the facts before us. But what we're going to try to do this morning is help us to understand that the warning signs are always there when you're getting ready to get into a situation that you shouldn't be in. Right? So Esau, the warning sign was there. He should have known, and that's how the devil does. He knows what your weakness is, and that's what he's going to come at you with. Now, his brother knew that he was going to be faint. He knew that he'd been gone for a while. He knew this was the perfect trap to set for Esau, so he set the trap. Now, Esau, all he saw is that when he was hungry, he saw his situation. He saw the circumstance that he was in. He knew that he needed to eat. Right? And we say, well, how can somebody just sell their birthright over a little bit of soup and some bread? Well, you're not in that situation. You're not in that circumstance. But you're in a situation every day. You're in a circumstance every day. You're faced with a decision just like Esau was faced with. So what is your decision to be? He forgot who he was. He forgot what he had before him, in front of him, because his circumstance, his situation, clouded his knowledge. Has nobody here been there before? I can tell you this morning, before you honestly, that I've been there before. I've been in circumstances, I've been in situations as a Christian and in my Christian walk where my circumstance and my situation clouded my knowledge, clouded my understanding, clouded my decision making. Made me make rash decisions. Right? Church, it's easy for us to fall in if we're not careful. If we don't pay attention to the warning signs. If we don't, he should have seen, church, that this was a trap. He should have seen. And like I say, it's easy for us to look back at it now and say that he should have seen. But if he had been in his right frame of mind, he would have seen that this was a trap. And he probably would have said, no, thank you. I'll just wait and eat later. Let's go ahead and go to our second example. This example, the Bible says, was the apple of God's eye. David, in the book of 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, and we'll start our reading at verse 2, and we'll probably read all the way through the whole 27, all the way through verse 27 there. So our second thing that we contend with is the lust of the flesh, the desires of this flesh. And church, this flesh is a difficult thing to keep under subjection. It is a difficult thing. And especially with the way that the world is going in, I'm trying to dance around this thing as best I can because I know we've got children here, but they've got stuff plastered on bulletin boards, billboards. It's on the internet. It's on TV. I mean, you can't turn the TV on that there's not some kind of sexual content. You can't drive down the road and see a bulletin board without some kind of sexual content. It's just blatantly thrown in front of people everywhere that you look, right? It's on the front of magazines. You can't go into stores anymore without it being right there in front of you. It's just blatantly put in front of people. And why? Because the devil knows that that's where people's weakness is, right? And he's going to use that tool to the best of his ability. It's our obligation to keep ourselves. What was the message I just preached here recently? To keep ourselves from sin. It's our obligation. It's going to be everywhere, church. There's nothing we can do about that. We can't stop it from being there. What we have to do is keep ourselves from sin. The warning signs will be there. Okay? They're going to be there. It's going to tell us to stay away from it. It's going to tell us not to do it. It's up to us. Alright? So in 2 Samuel 11, starting at verse 2, "And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Warning number one. Right? They told him point blank who she was and that she was married. "And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child." Warning number two. "And David sent to Joab saying, Send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, Go down to thy house, and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house? And Uriah said unto David, The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab all the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. And David said to Uriah, Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem. and that day and tomorrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of the Lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, "Let ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." Now we're seeing some things happen here, church. We're seeing David had many opportunities already to correct his wrong and to make repentance. But he keeps, instead of trying to make things right, he keeps burying himself deeper. He keeps making things worse. And it came to pass... What was that? And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged a messenger, saying, "When thou hast made an end of the telling of matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, Wherefore approach ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? Did not the women cast a piece of millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in Thebez? Why went ye nigh the wall? When say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also." So the messenger went and came and showed David all Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, "Surely the men prevailed against us, and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them, even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also." Then David said unto the messenger, "Thus shalt thou say unto Joab, Let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him." And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. I know that's a lot of reading this morning, but I believe it was imperative, and that's what God instructed me to read this morning. But we see here, time after time, that the warning signs were there, church. David had multiple opportunities to correct his wrong. He had multiple opportunities to repent of his sin and to make things right. But instead of doing that, he did what people commonly do. They keep digging the hole deeper. Right? And everybody does. They try to cover up that sin with another sin. And then that sin with another sin. And then that sin with another sin. And it just keeps snowballing until you're in a place where it just seems like there's no way out anymore. But I'll tell you, from the beginning until the end, there is a way out. And that way is Jesus. The best way out of a situation, the best way out of a circumstance, the best way out of sin is to turn to Jesus and get it taken care of. Confess your sins before man. That's the word. And get it taken care of. Don't keep trying to hide it, because you're just making things worse. You're just making it harder for you to come out of it. Now we see here, it's not astonishing to us, it's not amazing to us, what the very last verse says, that the Lord was displeased. Now, it shouldn't be any amazement to us, but sometimes we look at it and we say, "Really? The Lord's displeased with my sin?" Yes. He's displeased with sin. He can't look upon sin. He hates sin. He doesn't hate the person. I want to clarify that this morning. He doesn't hate the person that commits sin. If he did hate the person that commits sin, he would have never sent his son to die for us. Correct? So he doesn't hate the person. He loves us. And in fact, his word says, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That everybody would have the opportunity. That the warning signs would be there for them, and they would have the opportunity that someone would come to them and say, what you're doing is wrong. Whether they come to them knowing their circumstance, or whether God sends it through a messenger who doesn't know their circumstance. Either way, God's going to get the point across to you. God's going to present an alarm to you. He's going to present a warning, and he's going to present a way of escape. There's always a way out. The warning signs are always there. Just sometimes we don't see the warning signs until after we've messed up. But I'm trying to help us this morning. Right? I'm trying to help all of us, me included, to where we can see the warning signs before we mess up. So that we know how to stop the devil and how to stop the temptation and how to stop our fleshly desire before it overcomes our spiritual man. See, I y'all know me well enough to know I'm not a preacher that preaches a whole lot about what the devil does because we give him too much glory. And he don't deserve it. Because all he can do is present it to us. It's our choice. It's not his choice. It's our choice. Right? So I don't like giving him any glory because he don't deserve any glory. He don't deserve any praise. Right? God deserves glory and God deserves honor and God deserves praise. The devil don't deserve nothing. He's going to get what he's got coming to him. But he don't deserve anything. And sometimes we give him more respect than what he deserves. Don't get me wrong. He is cunning and he is crafty. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying this morning and just kind of dismiss him as a weak or a feeble enemy because he's not. He's a very strong and he's a very cunning enemy. He's one to be taken very seriously, but he don't deserve any praise from us. And sometimes we do give that to him. Our third example is our we contend with the desire to have earthly possessions and to have to be able to do what we want, right? If nobody else, I know that you young people can relate. The youth should be able to relate with this. That you know, I hear young people all the time telling me, I can't wait till I'm this age, or I can't wait till I'm that age, so I can do what I want. Let me make sure that you understand something this morning, and that you realize something this morning, that there is nobody, no age, that can do absolutely everything they want, and not answer to anybody. Right? So quit fooling yourselves. And telling yourselves that when you move out of mama and daddy's life, things are going to be better. Enjoy what you got while you got it. Because there's harder days ahead. I can assure you of that. When you start paying them bills and you start washing that laundry and you start cooking them meals, yeah, okay. You'll be saying, boy, I sure would like to be back at mama's. Things wasn't so bad. So that's our next example is the prodigal son. In Luke 15:11-32, and this I know this is very familiar. I know we've all been down this road. I know we've heard it preached a million times, but it's very important that we get the message of this morning and the importance of it. This was a young man who, like many young men, He wanted his freedom. He wanted to be able to do things his way. I want you to understand something this morning. This was a young man who pretty much had everything that he wanted right where he was at. He just didn't have that freedom that he thought he needed so badly. Right? So he went to his father, starting at verse 11, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he answered, said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, with have devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" Now we know here that the prodigal son had many opportunities to go back home. As soon as he realized, as soon as he got out there and he started squandering his money, you know, it don't take long to realize that the money is getting less, that your funds are dwindling away, and that your friends aren't really pitching in, but they're relying on you to pick up the bill for everything. I don't know if anybody else has been here before, but I've been there. And the warning signs were there for me, but I didn't heed the warning signs because I thought I had plenty of money. And I'm sure this young man thought that he had plenty. He probably thought that, you know, there's no way that I'll ever completely run out of money. But the fact is that he did. He ran out of money. So another warning sign. He's completely broke. The Bible says that he's spent everything that he had. He didn't have anything left. The Bible says that there was a famine that come across the land. Another warning. He should have said, he should have come to his senses and said, I'll just go home. Things ain't working out for me here. I'll just go home. But he didn't. He was so ashamed of where he was and so ashamed of what he had done that he still refused to go back home. So he was so ashamed that he went to somebody and said, can I have a job, man? I just need a job. I just need a job so I can feed myself. Now I want you to imagine, I don't know how many of you have ever worked on farms. I don't know how many of you have ever been around hogs. But I've been around some hogs. And it ain't pleasant. But this man not only lived with the hogs, but he ate with the hogs. Hogs don't eat good. They eat nasty. Right? So can you imagine how ashamed and how embarrassed this young man was that he allowed himself to get to that point rather than to go home and say, Dad, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? I can't tell you how many people have backslid on God and been that embarrassed. Because the Bible says that when we backslide, that the dog has returned to his own vomit, the mire has returned to wallowing in the mire. And when we turn on God, when we turn our backs on God, when we walk away from God, we're just returning to the nastiness, the stench that He brought us out of and cleaned us up of. The good news here is that he finally came to his senses. He finally remembered, you know what? I can remember at my dad's house. I can remember that the servants there had better than what I've got, had even more to spare than what I've got. I'll go back to him. I know I'm not worthy to be a son anymore. I'll just go back to him and ask him to let me just be a servant. Just let me serve you, Dad. He came to his senses. As I said, it's easy for us to look back. Church, the temptations are going to be there. Every one of these examples faced temptations. But every one of these examples had ways out. They had warning signs. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, it says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He makes a way of escape. This young man finally realized that there was a way of escape. He finally realized that there was a way out. He finally realized that if I can just get back home, I know I'm not worthy. I know I'm not worthy. And that's the first thing that the devil will tell us is that we're not worthy. We don't deserve to go back. Right? Come on now. But God has enabled us to have the opportunity to be worthy. We're not worthy, but He is worthy. And He's willing to accept us back. The Bible says here that when that young man came back, that his father wasn't standing there pointing his finger at him, telling him, I told you so. He wasn't standing there pointing his finger at him, rebuking him and saying, why'd you go and do what you did? Why didn't you just listen to somebody? He wasn't standing there and yelling and screaming and kicking and fussing. The Bible says that he embraced him. Now, I don't know. Maybe he did, but I can't see anywhere in here where he had time to stop and take a bath or to get cleaned up. I'm sure that he probably still had the stench of the hogs on him. Now, Dad didn't take the time to do what I used to do. He didn't go and look for a clothespin or a way to cover up his face. The Bible says that he fell upon his neck and he hugged him and he kissed him. I'm telling you this morning that when we come to our senses and realize who we are and realize who that we actually serve and who our Father is, that we can come to Him. No matter how shameful we have been, no matter what we have done, no matter how filthy it seems like we have been, we can come to Him and He is willing to accept us. He doesn't point his finger in our face and say, why'd you do what you did? He don't rebuke us. He don't chastise us. He welcomes us back in. Because of his love for us. He said that he told him, get him cleaned up, man. Give him the best robe that I've got. Give him shoes for his feet. Put a ring on his finger. I want people to know that he's still my child. Church, the warning signs will be there for you. We've just got to acknowledge them. We've got to take heed to them. But also the good news is the fact that when we don't acknowledge them, when we still make mistakes, and we still will, the Father is still willing to accept us back and to care for us and to love us. I don't know if any of you have all ever seen this before, but I've seen what this older brother exhibited. I've seen it in church. I've seen it happen. I've seen it where a person comes back and gives their heart to God, and somebody that hadn't backslid, been living for the Lord all their life, get offended and get upset because of the way that the church fusses over that person that came back. And I'm telling you, it's not right. I've never seen it here. I want to make that clear this morning. But I have seen it in the past. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices at the return of one. When one gives our heart to God. And if heaven rejoices over that, why shouldn't we rejoice with them? Right? We shouldn't have to walk on eggshells because we're scared somebody's going to get offended. Because we're celebrating somebody that has new life. What a wonderful thing. What a blessed opportunity to celebrate. And that's what they were celebrating, is that the Father told him, he said, man, this, he was once dead. He was lost. He was dead, but now he lives. He was lost, but now he's found. That's every one of us, church. At some time in your life, you either were or are lost or dead. But the good news is, you either have been or can be alive and found. Man, that's good. That's sweet this morning to know that we have that opportunity. But I want us to open our eyes to the warning signs. I want us to try to keep ourselves from making these mistakes. And to be ready. Because your adversary is as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He wants to destroy you, church. Do you realize that this morning? He wants to destroy everybody under the sound of my voice. But God has made a way of escape. Praise God, hallelujah. He's made a way out. That we don't have to fall subject to the enemy. That we can turn to Christ. How many of you realize this morning your Redeemer liveth? He's alive. Making intercession for you and me. For our mistakes. For our misdeeds. Good news this morning. Good news this morning. So this morning, we need to what? Prepare ourselves. Look for the warning signs. Look for the alarms. Listen for the alarms. I'm sure if we were in here and a fire alarm went off, how many of y'all just stay sitting in here? We'd get up and get ourselves out of here, wouldn't we? And some of y'all ain't shaking your heads or anything, so I guess not. I guess y'all just stay in here and burn up. I don't know. But I'd like to think that we're all intelligent enough that if there was a fire alarm here, that we would get out of the building, run from it, right? Well, there's a fire alarm going off every day in our lives to keep us from getting burned. Because one day after a while, the people who don't heed the alarm, who don't heed the warning, will burn. All right? So let's heed the warning. Let's heed the alarms. When the alarm goes off, run. Get the shelter. And what is your shelter? Your shelter is the Lord. He is our shelter. He's our hiding place. He's the place to go to get away from the devil and the enemy. He's the place to go to get away from our own flesh. All right? So let's heed to the warning signs and do what we need to do. That's your morning message. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.